In his benediction that closes the letter to the Romans, Paul speaks of the gospel of Jesus Christ as the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but now is disclosed. That phrase has been rolling in my mind, haunting my mind all week long as I've struggled with the question. Why? Why would God keep hidden the great good news of His love for us? Why would God hide from us the remarkable salvation which He holds in store for all His children? Why was all of this mystery, all of this wonder, all of this great good news kept hidden for so long from us? It doesn't seem right that a God who is love and justice, compassion, mercy, peace, forgiveness, the God who made us, whose Spirit sustains us, would keep His love, His compassion, His redemption a secret from us, does it? Hidden? Secret? How could God's great love be kept hidden? Be kept a secret? Well, I think I've discovered the answer. You see, it was hidden in plain sight. Hidden in plain sight, which means that it really was not hidden at all. At least, it wasn't hidden by God, not kept secret by God. God's salvation, God's great love is hidden only when we fail to see it, only when we are unable to perceive it. God didn't do the hiding. Paul's mystery hidden for long ages past was not stored away somewhere in the deep mind of God or covered up in some remote corner of the universe, but rather it was hidden in plain sight. On Christmas Eve in 1642, a humble farmer's wife in England went into labor. And an hour or two after midnight, she gave birth to her son, a boy who possessed the greatest mind in modern science. His name was Isaac Newton, the son of a poor father who could neither read nor write. He became the preeminent thinker who produced unparalleled discoveries, even as yet unparalleled discoveries in mathematics and physics and optics and astronomy. At the ripe old age of 23, Isaac Newton had already established the elements of differential calculus. Soon thereafter, he created the reflecting telescope. He described the properties of light. And then at the age of 45, Isaac Newton secured his reputation by publishing the phenomenal Principia Mathematica, a treatise on universal gravitation that would forever alter humanity's vision of the universe. You may remember when you were a child in school, seeing a picture of Isaac Newton sitting beneath an apple tree with the fruit strewn around him all over the ground. A fanciful theory that Newton discovered the law of gravity when an apple fell on his head. But you know, Newton didn't discover gravity. Gravity had always been there, visible and evident, and yet, it was hidden in plain sight because people did not understand how it worked and could not articulate its properties. It took the brilliance of this British thinker to understand and explain how gravity and so many other things work consistently in our world. On another Christmas Eve, some 2,000 years ago, yet another humble woman with child went into labor and gave birth to a son on Christmas Day. Her name was Mary, and the child was Jesus. And that new life was destined to make a much greater impact on the world than that of Isaac Newton or anyone else. Jesus, too, presented the world with unparalleled discoveries, new ways of looking at things, the revelation of riddles, not in mathematics, but in morals, not in physics, but in metaphysics, not in things of science, but in things of the Spirit, not in the law of gravity, but in the law of God. Jesus himself was the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret for so long but is now disclosed. Jesus disclosed it. He unlocked it. The gospel message of hope and salvation through faith in God, that's the significance of Christmas. The birth of the life, spiritually brilliant enough, like Isaac Newton was scientifically brilliant enough, to reveal to the world new things, new ways of looking at the things that have always been there but lay hidden in riddle and mystery until a sufficiently attuned mind could unlock and disclose them and bring them to light, until a sufficiently attuned spirit could work cooperatively with God to redeem the world. An author by the name of Frank Mead wrote a short story not too many years ago. It was entitled The VIP. In his story, he told about the small town of Mayfair. Not Mayberry, Mayfair. And Mayfair was preparing at Christmas time for the arrival of an important guest. His name was Henry Branscombe, and he was a very prominent, wealthy, important person. And he was coming to Mayfair to spend Christmas in their town. Well, the whole town spent weeks preparing for Henry Branscombe's arrival, and the whole town went to the airport the day that he was to come. But he was nowhere to be found. The plane landed. All of the passengers disembarked. They came into the airport terminal. They left the terminal, and the crowd and the band and all the banners just kind of stood there. Where is he? What happened to him? Well, what they didn't know about Henry Branscombe was that he was a relatively quiet man, unassuming, and he had passed right through the crowd unnoticed. And he went into town, not appearing to be a man of means, not appearing to be who he was at all. He was ignored by most. He was mistreated by some as they were all caught up in the Christmas frenzy of preparation, a frenzy of materialism and shallow pageantry. They didn't have time to notice this rather unassuming stranger who walked in and out among them. They certainly didn't think to offer him the gifts of hospitality and friendship. Until finally a poor old gentleman who spent most of his days and nights on the streets invited him to share dinner with him. And then after dinner, Henry Branscombe returned to the airport. When he got to the airport, he noticed two men working there. They were taking down the banner, which was to welcome him to the town. One of the workmen remarked to the other, "I can't believe we missed him. I don't know how he got by us. He must be in town somewhere. How in the world could we have missed him?" And the stranger then, unnoticed even by the workmen, climbed back onto the plane and left behind the town of Mayfair. Could that happen in our town? Could that happen in our church? Is it possible that we could get ourselves so wrapped up in the frenzied preparations and the pageantry that we could miss altogether this Christ who comes among us in plain and simple attire, quiet and unassuming, moving in and out among us in ways that we would not predict or expect? At Christmas time especially, he is hidden in plain sight. For is Jesus not at the center of all we do, right there in the middle of it, in the manger, surrounded by all the others who've gathered? Is Jesus not right at the center of our observance, and yet he is not seen by so many? The glitter and the tinsel and the lights and the reindeer capture our attention while the Christ moves simply among us, quietly, hidden in plain sight. The busyness of our lives and the complex web of responsibilities woven for us take our energy and our time, while the wonder of a universe created by God and the Lord of that universe sharing our lives with us goes about unnoticed, hidden in plain sight, happening all about us, and yet we don't see it. That's why this time and this place are so critically important. Here we gather in this place, day by day, week by week, to sharpen our perceptions so that we do not miss the hidden in plain sight wonders and mysteries of God. Here we gather to celebrate and acknowledge the presence of God when the world around us goes on as if nothing has happened. That's what growing disciples is all about. Our mission statement, the G of wings, growing disciples, learning to see that which is easy to miss, attuning our minds, our eyes and ears and hearts to see that which is mostly overlooked. And then as we grow in discipleship, we begin to understand the difference that is made in us and in our world by this wondrous intrusion of God into our lives. There are books that have been published in recent years on the subject of the hidden things of God, the hidden things of the Bible. The Bible Code is the title of one such book that tells us that within the pages of the Bible are hidden messages, encoded information that can be found if one is clever enough to look in the right places and ask the right questions. I hope you have learned here that such things are nonsense. The God whom we worship is not one who hides things from us or keeps important secrets hidden away. The Lord whom we worship is in the business of revealing God, revealing God's truth, revealing God's ways to us. If there are things of God that are hidden from us, it is not God who does the hiding, but it is we who are too distracted, too dull, too misguided to see how this loving and merciful God of ours moves among us and about us all the time. But because God shows himself to us in such unexpected ways, unexpected through the life of a poor carpenter and his young bride, with a baby born in a stable, cribbed in a manger, poor shepherds, simple people. Because God comes to us in such unexpected, unadorned ways, we fail to see God and all that God shows us because it is hidden in plain sight. Amen.